In the name of the ascended Lord Jesus, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's time to get back to the basics. I'm sure you've heard it. Was it a coach? A professor? A politician? There are all kinds of reasons why people will tell us that that's the route to go for better understanding. Maybe it's all about life coaching. Maybe getting back to the basics is what your body needs, or your schedule, or your relationships. It's not uncommon to hear that advice. And when you hear it, it's probably good advice to follow for whatever reason that person is telling it to you. If you're a child of the 60s and the 70s, like I am, you'll also remember a certain Sergeant Andragnet, who when interviewing suspects or witnesses would always remind them how important it was to just present the facts. Just the facts, ma'am, was certainly a mantra that you heard often in conversation. Well, when it comes to Luke's writing in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you discover that very often he takes something of a blended approach of those two concepts. While he presents fact-based narrative, it also so often is simply a recounting of basic things we need to know and remember for our blessing, for our certainty of our salvation. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the very ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Jesus was gone. And the disciples weren't really ready for it. It wasn't what they were expecting in that moment, clearly. But it was absolutely necessary for them. For unless there was some clear delineation to the end of their time with Jesus, how would they not know that just as in so many other cases, in his glorified, resurrected body, he would just suddenly be there in their midst? They had spent so much time with Jesus. More than 3 years during his ministry, going everywhere he went, eating every meal with him, listening to every sermon, witnessing every miracle. But none of that could compare to those glorious 40 days that they spent with Jesus, whom they had watched be arrested. Many of them watched him also tried before Pilate, nailed to a cross. Some of them participated in putting his dead body in a grave, and yet locked behind closed doors on that first Easter night, certain that they needed to be fearing for their lives, suddenly Jesus stood amongst them speaking peace. And it would happen numerous times in those next 40 days with different numbers of the groupings of the disciples, different places, different times. He'd be on the seashore suddenly. Just never knew where Jesus would appear and how he'd manifest himself in front of them without opening a window or a door. There he was. So, Jesus went to heaven in an extremely memorable way. He flew to heaven, not flapping his wings, just floated off. We take that so matter-of-factly. You try to float someday. I'm not talking about on Lake Michigan or in the backyard pool. I'm talking about floating away like a balloon. It's not going to happen. Gravity
has its laws, but not for Jesus, not in his glorified reality in that moment. So if we had been there, it wouldn't have been any different for us. We would have watched him, and we would have watched him, and we would have watched him, and then we would have stood there with our mouths wide open, not wanting to take our eyes off of the sky until we knew for sure there wasn't any way possible we could see him anymore. Cloud hid him from their sight, and yet they still stood there looking up into the sky. The angels had to say, look, he's gone. He's gone to heaven. Where's that? It's not actually up there beyond the clouds. It's not as if some supersonic spaceship of the future is going to discover heaven and send the message back through the technology that exists in that day to breathless people waiting on Earth. What's it like? It's not going to happen. He was transitioning from the existence of his fully human experience in our reality to a reality that our human minds, limited by our understanding, by our senses, by our thinking, he's in heaven. He's in the presence of the angels and the saints. His existence is spiritual, yet has an entirely new dimension to it that it didn't have before he was conceived in the womb of Mary, for he returned to heaven fully human like you and I, glorified through death and resurrection, bearing the marks in his hands and feet inside of his brutal suffering and death and sacrifice. But now he is on the throne of heaven, ruling over all things for our good, just as much our brother as when he ate and drank and slept and worked and wearied himself amongst his disciples, only now glorified, having assumed all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the power, the wisdom that belongs to him, that were his before he emptied himself of all of that to become one of us here on earth. Can't tell you what heaven is like. I can't tell you where heaven is. The greatest scholar of all history that scoured the Hebrew and the Greek couldn't tell you where it is or what it is beyond the reality that's where God is. And where he's gone, he can still see. He can still be. He can still rule. He can still do all the things he did while he was here. But he wanted his disciples and you and I to understand that we shouldn't wait and expect for him to show up at any moment. His physical presence has left us. But as you recall the words of Jesus in those final sessions with the disciples, he assured them, I'm going away, but I'm not leaving you as orphans. My Holy Spirit will be with you, but I also will be with you always to the very end of the age. So he's in heaven, right where he belongs, the place he earned as our brother, emptying himself while facing temptation and brutal death, so he could give that righteous life to us and make it possible for us to be there with him in heaven forever. And he's coming back. Luke's laying out those basics, those ascension basics. Jesus will return. And did you note how they simply just bring that right as the next issue there in those last verses? Take your eyes off the skies. You've seen him go. He's going to come back in exactly the same way you've seen him go into heaven. He's going to come on the clouds of heaven. He's going to float back in like he floated out. Only difference will be, he won't be alone when he does that. We know that from the scriptures. All those who have died in the Lord, believing, trusting in Jesus as their Savior, will return with him. And all those who are still alive, who believe, will meet them in the air. We'll all fly one day when Jesus comes back. But it won't be a joyous day for everyone. We know those basics too, don't we? Those who fear him, those who reject him, those who have no time or interest or use for him. It won't be a pretty day. Jesus says they will call to the mountains, fall on us, to the hills, cover us. But those who know Jesus and trust Jesus, rely on Jesus for forgiveness and life, they're going to lift up their heads. They're going to look for that return. They're going to know where to look as they hear that trumpet sound of God and know what that trumpet means. And they'll see Jesus returning to judge, to perfect, to glorify. That's right. That body that Jesus wore, heading back to heaven, floating back to heaven as his triumphant self, King of the universe, he promises you a glorified body just like that. Whether you're raised from the dust or whether you're still alive when it happens, in the twinkling of an eye, you'll have a whole new eternal body, a perfect body, flawless and undiminished in any way, and beyond the reach of pain and sin, of harm or aging, to live with him forever. Because when he judges all living beings who have ever walked on this earth, you will stand on that right side, one of his lambs, and he will say to you, "Come, enjoy the inheritance prepared for you by my Father. Well done, good and faithful servant." He will come again. But what are we supposed to do while we wait for all these realities to play out? Oh, he doesn't leave us wondering about that either. The Holy Spirit doesn't, Jesus doesn't, Luke doesn't. He sticks with the basics, doesn't he? Two different places in these verses we're reminded. In Luke's gospel, we're reminded again. This is all about believers who know Jesus, who know how he went to heaven and why he went to heaven and what's going to happen when he returns, having authority from Jesus to tell everybody else that we know what we know and what it means for them, what hope, what promise, what comfort it means for them that Jesus is in heaven, risen from the dead, the firstborn from the grave, guaranteeing that when he comes, he will bring with him all of those that we have loved that have gone ahead to heaven, and we will see them again, and we will live together again in the perfect happiness and joy, the fulfillment and peace of that new heaven and that new earth that Jesus will create from all of the ruins, the purged ruins of this existence. The prophets, the angels, they're silent now. The apostles, the evangelists, they're heard only through the written word. From the day that the last of those, that generation, went to heaven to be with Jesus, it has simply been the task of every new generation of those who are led by the Holy Spirit to know Jesus, to trust Jesus, to worship Jesus, to proclaim Jesus to the world around them. To be confident in doing that, it's obvious we need to know what that word says. To be confident that we're speaking truth, that we're growing enough ourselves to know what to say, what to proclaim, the basics. We need to spend time in study and prayer and worship and confession. And all those things, his indwelling Holy Spirit will grow us. Will grow us to realize without any doubt how important the basics actually are. Because anyone can know the basics. Jesus took a little child and placed that child among the disciples who had spent so much time with Jesus, listening and learning and studying and even proclaiming, and he assured them, that unless they believed like that little child, they weren't going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so it's not about smarts, it's not about experience, it's not about age, it's not about social prestige, it's not about anything that anyone could measure about us. It's only about Jesus, the basics of Jesus, living and dying and rising, going to heaven, promising his return, and deputizing you and me and every believer to make sure that every opportunity he gives us, every moment of our lives, every conversation, every task we set our hand to, every relation we begin or nurture, everything always can be about the basics, can be about the hope that we have in Christ, the certainty we know because he is in heaven, ruling all things for our good. So there's comfort to share. There's forgiveness to share. There's assurance of God's protection and providing and the ultimate victory of Christ over every last thing that humbles us and pushes us to the breaking point. That none of it will mean anything the day after we die or the day after he returns. For he's in heaven preparing a place for each one of us to be with him. And if he's going to go and do that and make all that effort, we can be sure he will come again to take us to be with him. It's very basic. It really always is. It's our own faults when we get it all twisted and turned and uncertain in our minds. Because Jesus keeps it simple. Jesus keeps it clear. And he inspires the writers of his word to do the same. So back to the basics. Just the facts. It's a really good pursuit for a day that has such glorious realities attached to it. Not a bad way to handle the word every day of our lives until Jesus returns and takes us to be with him forever. Amen.